Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 19 this morning. Revelation, chapter 19. We're going to read two verses, verses 7 and 8 from Revelation 19. And as our custom is, I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. If you would stand to your feet as you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, of course, in honor of the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for how powerful it is and wonderful it is. God, do a work in our hearts today. Help us to be what we should be for you. Help us to see the importance of what you have for us to do. Now, God, do this and accomplish this through the power of thy Holy Spirit. We need you to anoint our pastor for that task. Use him to help us today. And, Father, if there's somebody here in this room or on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please keep your Bibles open there to Revelation 19 and verse number 7. And please listen very carefully when we introduce the message to you. I want you to, as we say, get on board right off the bat today. Last week, we talked to you about the church. We talked to you about the church and the four analogies in the Bible that God uses to help us to understand, listen, not just what a church is, but what is my relationship to the church. We talked about how that last week the message was the church is like a body and how that each body has its members and parts to it and it all functions with a purpose and et cetera. And we talked about the church is likened to a body. We also mentioned that the church is likened to a building in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and how that each building has a part to it that makes it work and function and do what it's supposed to do and how each person is like a part in a building, as it were, helped to be the foundation or the walls or the ceiling or the parts that make a building function and do what it's supposed to do. The Bible also uses the analogy of a church and calls it a branch. John chapter 15, how that a branch attached to a tree and how each branch helps that tree to perform its function and do what a tree is supposed to do, so it is with the church. And then we mentioned the fact that God likens the church to a bride. Here in Revelation chapter 19, that's our subject this morning. The church is a bride. Do you remember when you got married? Have you ever been to a wedding and noticed that the important thing at a wedding is the groom? It's all about him. It's all about that sissy-looking outfit they make him wear. Remember that back in the 70s when you had to wear those ruffled tuxedo things, those nasty-looking ruffled tuxedos, ruffled shirts, ruffled sleeves. I didn't do that. I wore a suit when I got married. No, it's not about the groom. It's about the bride. And here in the Bible, in Revelation 19, God is talking about how that there is going to be one day a marriage supper of the Lamb and that her wife has made herself ready for this coming event that's about to be. Throughout the scripture, God uses the bride and bridegroom principle to teach us a lot of things about the Christian and the Christian life. And especially in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll go over there in just a few moments and talk about how that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's how a husband is supposed to love his wife and give himself for her and that sort of thing. And we'll come back to that explanation in just a moment. But in all of those analogies, whether it's a body or a building or a branch or a bride, what God's trying to teach us about the church that's most important, I think, is this. It is a visible, functioning entity. And those visible, functioning... See, a lot of people believe there's the universal, invisible church. And we're all a part. part of this universal invisible church? No. Listen to me carefully. God did not create an invisible entity. When it came to a building, when it came to a branch, when it came to a body, and when it comes to a bride, my friend, everybody wants something visible and real. So the idea is that when he created, his idea with the church was to create something that was literal, visible, that you see. It's a gathering of people. And this thing about the analogy of the bride is he's trying to teach us something else about not just what a church is, but what our relationship to a church is supposed to be. First of all, let's get right into it this morning. First of all, understand that the idea of a bride is God's idea. First wedding was performed in the Garden of Eden. God took man, took a rib from that man, made a woman, brought her unto him. And there in the Garden of Eden, God put a man and a woman together and performed the first ceremony and put those together as a husband and a wife. So the idea of a bride and the idea of a marriage is God's idea. He created that. Let me just interject a thought here. Leave it alone. It's a man and it's a woman, period. That's all. That's all there ever was meant to be. Don't mess with it. God didn't intend for us to change things. And people have, but we're not going to. We're going to leave it just like the way God made it. But like marriage was God's idea, so was the church. The church was God's idea. Jesus, talking to the Apostle Peter one day, said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And Jesus Christ founded the church during his earthly ministry. See, it was his idea. Now, I cannot justify for you this morning why there are 1,200 Christian denominations in America. I cannot justify that. I can't justify it biblically. I can't even justify it logically. Because God didn't start 1,200 denominations. He started a local, visible assembly. In the Greek word, it's ekklesia, which means it called out assembly of people. He created that. Jesus did. That was his idea. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Just like with marriage, people have gotten their hands on the church too and defined and designed their own thing, idea of a church. And they want to create something that's more in what they want and what they're looking for and what's suitable to them and what pleases them and what's acceptable for them. A lot of churches today even take church off the sign because there's a bad connotation to church. And so they call it the fellowship, or they call it the association. Or if you even go that far, they might just give it a name, like the rock or a grazen or a grape or the trickling waters or something like that, just so it doesn't sound too churchy, because you don't want to get real churchy about something. But Jesus said he would build a church. He called it that. Let's leave it that, just the way he intended. What I cannot justify for you this morning is why there are all these churches. What I can tell you is this. Jesus had one kind in mind when he created the church. Nowadays, without making you want to throw up, there are all kinds of brides. Redefining the thing of a bride. And now it could be any gender, any type, any person, anything. Now they're even doing marriages for animals. People marrying their parakeets and people marrying their goldfish. And now they got all that kind of stuff that's going on. And it's kind of humorous, but to be honest with you, it's pretty disgusting. Because that's not what God intended. It is denigrating to the position and the responsibility of what a bride is supposed to be. And just like with churches today, I'm sorry, there are so many different kinds. You say, "Well, now are you going to tell us this is the right kind of church?" Well, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't the right kind, what are we doing? I mean, what's the point? The point isn't because we created it. We didn't create this. I didn't create Shasta Baptist Church. I'm the only pastor you've ever had in almost 34 years now. But the idea of this whole thing, this whole assembly of people coming together to teach and preach the Word of God and to lift up Jesus Christ and to do the work of what a church is supposed to do, that whole idea was God's idea. All we're trying to do is just get in on what He intended. That's all. And by the way, friend, listen to me. Why don't we just make it simple and leave it like that? A church. Not a denominational group. We are not affiliated with any denominational body of any kind. We are a Baptist church. Now, see, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. But the truth of the matter is, we're not connected with these affiliation groups. There's Baptist denominational groups. We're not part of that. This is an independent, autonomous body of blood-washed, water-baptized, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring assembly of believers. Now, that's it. It's just that simple. That's how we've started. That's how we've stayed all these years. Because here's the thing. If you keep it the way God intended it, it keeps things simple. It makes things without all the complications that are involved in it. And we come here because this is what God has directed us to do. See, the idea of a bride is God's idea. And when he called this wife of the bridegroom, this wife to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when he called this bride, see, he knew what he was intending us to understand. Just like marriage is God's idea and it's a man and a woman, a church is God's idea. It's a simple assembly of people who come together, preach the Bible, and lift up Christ. That's what we do. Now, folks, look, we have guests and visitors with us this morning. If you're looking for a church to become a part of, and you just want something that has a simple purpose and direction to it, you found what you're looking for. We don't get involved in a bunch of junk. We're not involved in the society. We're not in the sense of politics. We're not involved in all this other stuff. That's not our goal. Our goal is to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. It was his idea for the church. The bride is God's idea. And it's God's idea, and he made the church for himself, and he made it with the intention, the church, he made it with the intention of his people to come together and form what is a church and to do what a church is supposed to do. It's all designed in the Bible. Remember, 27 books in the New Testament. 23 of those books are written to, about, or for local New Testament churches. The other four are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the Gospels, and it tells us about Jesus, the founder of the church. The New Testament is a church book. There's a whole book in here called the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts, what is that? It's a book that tells what those people did who are commissioned by Jesus Christ to take that great commission, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to everybody, see them get baptized, and then teach them what the Bible says, what they did when he took that great commission. You see, it's simple. So we just get on that, and that's what we do. We just stay with the Great Commission, fulfill that, and fulfill the purpose for which he intended. But it's God's idea, not ours. It's not man's creation, it's God's. The bride is God's idea. Number two, the bride loves her spouse. See, you don't, as much as the bride is the center of the wedding, there ain't no wedding without a groom. Matter of fact, you don't have a bride without a groom. Because, and this may sound a little bit old-fashioned, she became a bride because the groom asked her to marry him. Shall I tell you the story? Do you remember asking your wife to marry you, fellas? Do you remember the proposal? Down at the Bible college where I teach these young people down there, I was kidding with them the other night. Somebody down there got some crazy idea. You have to make a whole production out of the proposal. A whole production. A kid actually showed up to propose to his future bride wearing a Superman outfit with the red underwear and the whole bit. Now, why she said yes, I have absolutely no idea. If that was my daughter, I'd say, you ain't marrying no clown to walk around with red underwear on like that. You're just not going to do it. Another guy took his brother Ray's son, daughter, her fiance, future fiance, took her up on the top of the spire of the Golden Gate Bridge. You know the big stanchions? He knew somebody worked the bridge, got him in the elevator, took her up to the very top and proposed to her up there on the very top of the Golden Gate Bridge. She said no, and he jumped off. But the truth of the matter is, no, she said yes. It's really simple. After my wife dated for 2 weeks, we got together, and I asked her to marry me. I didn't even have a ring. I didn't know you're supposed to do that. We need to coach these guys just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You got to open the box. I didn't have one of those. We're sitting on a table in Miller Park, Sacramento, California, hot August night. We were there. We wrote to each other for a year before we actually met. So after we dated a couple weeks, it was pretty certain she was going to be mine, and let's get on with it. And so we're sitting there on this table, and I turned to her. And I said, Patty, will you marry me? And she looked at me with those hazel green eyes that still melt my heart and said, I don't know. And the sad part is that's exactly how she said it. She didn't say, I don't know, or I don't know. She said, I don't know. That's what I did. I just looked at her for a while. I said, will you marry me? I didn't ask you want a hamburger. Will you marry me? You know, ring, ward, June to be, you know, marry me. You understand? Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. You can't get out of that. There's nothing else you can do. Nothing you can do. I just sit there. And then she looked at me, she goes, are you okay? I go, yeah, you want to be friends? What? I said, okay. It wasn't yes and it wasn't no. Yes was, of course, the obvious because of the package, but I mean, the no answer, I'd have talked her out of it because of the package. But I don't know, what do you do with that? You don't know what you do with I don't know. There is no way to respond to I don't know. And it wasn't just, again, it wasn't just I don't know. It was like, I don't know. It was like she didn't care. So, well, I'll take you home. Oh, okay. Oh, you can say yes to that. Okay, good. There we go. So got her in the car, took her home. Dropped her off at her house, walked her to the door. She said, are you going to be all right? I go, yeah, I'm wonderful. See you. I walked off and I thought, what in the world? I don't know. It's not yes. It's not no. It's not good. It's not bad. It's terrible. So I don't know. Got home. My brother, I was staying with my brother and his wife at the time. He knew I was going to ask her that night. And we got to the house and they'd gone with us. As a matter of fact, the big proposal, they were over there. We were over here. We get in the house. He goes, well, what happened? I said, you ain't going to believe it. He goes, she turned you down. I said, no. She said, yes. I said, no. He goes, what? And I go, yeah. She said, I don't know. But she said, I don't know. What do you do with that? He looked at me and he said, I don't know. I thought, what? It's like going on a blind date and turns out to be your sister. What do you do? I mean, Kentucky, you know. But anyway, the point is, we're sitting there, I'm just saying, what in the world? I mean, for days after that, I was dazed. Now, the Lord used that to bring me to my senses about some other things in my life spiritually. And that's what it was about. My brother helped me. He said, look, she's not going to say yes to you because you're not right with God. There's no way she's going to marry you. By the way, that's smart. And I got right with God not so I could have her. I got right with God because I wanted to get right with God. No deals. Don't make deals with God, please. If you give me this, I'll give you that. No, hogwash. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. I don't know how many days or weeks it was later on. We're driving down Howe Avenue in Sacramento, and I turned to her. I said, we going to get married or what? She says, oh, I guess. I go, okay. To this day, she still says, I don't think I said yes. 4 kids, 7 grandchildren, 42 years later, you said yes. But the whole thing is about the bride now when the wedding thing comes, but the truth is without a groom, there's no bride. And without Jesus, there's no church. That's why so many churches have lost their direction, because Jesus is not the centerpiece anymore. Huh? It's about their worship teams. It's about their programs. It's about what they give to that person. It's about what they do for you. Instead of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing without Him. We have no salvation without Christ. We have no church without Jesus. We have nothing without Him. And that's the way we want it. We want it to be about Jesus. How sad the churches today are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. It's all kinds of junk. They got them getting baptized and joining churches and doing all kinds of stuff to get saved. No, it's about Jesus. It's about Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's about Jesus. He's the founder of the church. He's the creator of the church. He's the sustainer of the church. He's the one that we want to talk about. He's the one we want to lift up. We want everybody to notice that. I know that. When I help with couples as they get married, I tell the groom, I say, partner, you could stand up there in your underwear and people's not going to pay attention. Well, he doesn't do that, by the way. Nobody's going to pay attention to you because it's about that bride coming down the aisle in that dress. That's what it's all about. That's the centerpiece of the whole thing. But let's get realistic for a moment. You know, the truth is, if it wasn't for him asking and her saying yes eventually, then they would not get married. There would be no wedding. There'd be nothing. And without Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he had no sideline to anything. It's about him. He's our goal. He's our example. He's the one we follow. He's the one we want to lift up. He's the one we want to talk about. He's the one that sustains us in our day-to-day lives. It's about Jesus. Now, what happened with the church and this great bride and its love for Jesus? Hey, guess what will happen? And you won't get people all sidetracked on whether or not they like this Christian or don't like that Christian, and they don't get along with this person, they don't like that person. Guess what? Look here. If you go to church because you love Jesus, you know you'll always have a reason to go to church. You always will. And you'll always have the right reason. And then that way, hey, look at me. That way, if something comes along, we don't have to get along about something. It's okay because we love Jesus, and that's what it's all about. The bride loves her groom. She loves him. That's her focus. That's her thought. She said yes, and there, Bible Baptist Church in Sacramento, California, the wedding day comes. I'm standing there on the platform. I was so nervous that I was literally in the groom's room right before the ceremony with my head between my knees to keep from passing out. And having been in the military, you learn not to lock your knees when you stand straight, because if you do for very long, you'll pass out. So I had my knees bent, but I was bouncing. And my head was like a sprinkler. I was so nervous. The pictures, our wedding pictures, before the ceremony, I was pale as I could be. I was about to pass out. Standing on a platform that was about this high, maybe one step more. No, there's about two steps. I'm standing on the platform. They didn't do all the, you know, production thing of it. She's down the aisle with her dad. She comes to stand right there, who gives this bride away. My brother did the ceremony, and her dad said, take her, get rid of her. No, he said, her mother and I do. Instead of going down here and giving her my arm and walking up here like this, I just put my hand out. She walked over, she took my hand, she put her foot on the first step, and she looked up at me and she said, I can't do it. I said, what? And she said, I can't do it. And I said, you what? You can't. And she's pulling back on her hand. And I'm thinking, I'm about to be an unclaimed blessing. I played middle linebacker in high school. She heads for the door. I'm going to get her before she gets out, bro. There is no way she's leaving me like this. And she kept pulling back on her hand. I'm going, you can't do that to me right now. What do you mean you can't do that? She said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I said, no, you can't do it. She said, I'm standing on my dress. I went, oh. She had stepped up on her dress, so she needed to step back to pull the dress up enough to take the next step. I thought, I'm going to live through the wedding. Then she came up on the platform, and we got married. You know, people, sometimes we get in churches and things come up. Have you noticed that? Huh? People get their issues. There's stuff that happens among the brethren and the sistern. The men and women of the church. Get your eyes back on Jesus. The church should love Jesus. That's why we participate. That's what we do. Then the bride also teaches us that the bride prepares herself for the wedding. In verse number 7, it says, and his wife hath made herself ready for this marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, the production of the wedding. My goodness. Average wedding in America today costs $28,000. $28,000. $28,000. Unfortunately, you can't even buy a small Toyota for that anymore, but $28,000 for a wedding. Because you ladies, you get these things in your head about a wedding. The color scheme. Don't ever ask a guy who's going to get married what the color of the scheme of the wedding is. He has no idea. He doesn't know anything that's going on. He has no concept. But the lady's got it all figured out. She's been, in a lot of cases, they've been putting stuff aside and collecting things, and they go to weddings, and they go, oh, I like that. I want to have that in my wedding. Any guy that likes to go to a wedding needs a hormone check. No one wants to go to a wedding. A guy only goes because he's told. And the truth is, weddings are absolutely one of the worst things you could ever attend for a guy, because what's the point? I mean, really, all you want to do is do the want a mug, got a mug, and let's get to the reception. I mean, really, what's the point of it all? But for the ladies, they're collecting ideas and their ideas because they're getting all these things ready for the big day. The church is like a bride preparing herself. In Ephesians chapter 5, this Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then it says this, that he may present it to himself, the church, after he has washed it with the water of the word of God, that he may present it to himself, having neither spot or wrinkle. Because see, one day, church, you and I are going to stand in front of Jesus, the groom. And we should be now, as a church and as people of this church, we should be preparing ourselves for that day. Could happen today, you know. Christ could come today. And that means today, Christian, you and I are going to stand in front of Jesus Christ and give an account of ourselves and our lives and what we have done since the day of our salvation. And he will reveal that. So what we should be doing is preparing for all of this and preparing for the fact that we're going to look him in the face one day. Oh, blessed moment to stand and see the face of my loved Savior. I just can't wait to see his face. But if Christ returns for us today, you and I will be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's not about sin. It's about you and I giving an account of our lives. What did you do with the life he gave you after you got saved up to that moment? And did you prepare to meet him? How about today? Hey, let's say it happens today and Christ comes today. You prepare to stand in front of him with the life you've lived up till now? You say, well, Pastor, we don't know when that day is. Yes, that's why every day we need to be getting ready. Getting ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Which is why I often think he's going to come on Sunday morning. Because half of you are not thinking this morning right now. You got that glazed eyeball cafe and the new gate look on your face. Maybe it's that moment. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, if he comes today, right now, this very moment, this is where I want him to find me, right here, preaching the Word of God. Hopefully pastoring Shasta Baptist Church and preaching the Word of God. But this is what I want him to find me do. I don't want him to find me standing in line at Walmart. I want him to find me standing here. Now, I can't do anything about Walmart, and I know that's what's going to happen. I know it. Every time I go to Walmart, I stand in line, I think it's going to happen. Trump of God's going to sound, here I am, going to Jesus from Walmart. Aggravated as some fool who can't read the sign that says 15 items or less. I know that's what's going to happen to me. But the truth of the matter is, I just want to be ready when he comes. Christian, look at me. That's why Shasta Baptist Church, we put a premium on the souls of men, women, and children, and a premium on the teaching and preaching of God's Word. See, if he comes back today, I don't want him to find us running the aisles, waving flags, and barking like dogs, and clucking like chickens, and calling off all the names of all the Japanese automobiles. Kawasaki Hyundai. I want him to come back, find us doing what we're supposed to be doing. Preaching God's Word, reaching people, helping folks, doing the job that we're supposed to do. We want to be ready because the groom is coming. So we need to be preparing ourselves. Are you ready today? Are you ready because you know Christ as your Savior? That's number one. Are you certain? Would you go if the trump of God sounds? Would you go to be with him? And are you sure of that? And is that certainty based on the Word of God? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you accepted him for your salvation? Then you're ready to go. But now then, are you ready to face him? Ready to go is one thing. Ready to face him, that's another. That day of the wedding, I still remember how nervous I was. My stomach was all upset. I was sick to my stomach. I was so nervous. All I could think of was, man, let's get married. Let's get married. Get me out of this monkey suit and let's get married. A lot of young people today, they think about a wedding. And they think about, look at me, getting married, but they don't think about marriage. Can I tell you something? In this church, I called a wedding off on the day of the wedding. Counseled with this young couple, got them ready to get married the night before the wedding. She got cold feet and took off and drove up somewhere up in the mountains and was driving around trying to talk herself into it. The morning of the wedding, they couldn't find her. Finally, they located her, and she said, I got my second thoughts. And I said, well, then don't get married. Cake will freeze. That stuff on the finger food thing, that'll go back. But you ain't ready to get married if you got cold feet now. No, I'll go through with it. I said, no, I don't do weddings. I do marriages. I refuse to marry him. Called the wedding off the day of the wedding. I did it. You know why? Because it's not about getting married. It's about having a marriage and a life. We accept Christ as our Savior, and then we just want to go on. Excuse me, there's the Christian life on the other side of that thing. Yeah, and it has its ups and it has its downs and it has parts to it and things. Okay, but that's all part of it. But you know what? You don't get saved so you can become a Christian. You get saved so you can be a child of God. But you must understand something. We, every day of our lives, should be putting Jesus first and living for Him and doing what He wants us to do with our lives, making ourselves ready for that day. All we want to hear Him say is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's all. When we were in India, we participated in a wedding over there. Different cultures do weddings differently. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. But in India, the groom gets everything. He gets all the gifts. He gets all the money. They had the groom and the bride standing down here. She's here, he's here. People going by, welcoming, shaking their hand, giving him money, jewelry, gold, gifts. And she's just standing there. And I thought, I think I love India. It's unbelievable. She didn't even have flowers. And I asked the Indian pastor, I said, "Bro, what is that?" And he said, "Oh, the groom gets everything. And a dowry." I said, "A dowry?" He said, "Yeah, oh yeah, it's huge. The groom and the groom's parents," this is going to ruin everybody about weddings, "the groom's parents, they get a dowry. And they negotiate the dowry, and it all goes to the groom and the groom's parents. The bride gets a husband out of the deal. He gets all the stuff." Some cultures have it right. The groom is lucky to get cufflinks out of the deal in America. Over there, he gets a house, a car, and a couple of goats. I mean, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the truth of the matter is we should be preparing ourselves for the fact that Jesus is coming. He's preparing for us. We should be preparing for Him. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, yes, Pastor Johnson, He's preparing for us. Question, are you preparing for Him? Bride prepares for her husband. And lastly, the bride's loyal to her spouse. That young couple I called the wedding off on that day, her cold feet was about her husband-to-be. That was after four counseling sessions where everything was on target and they were good with it and I explained the principles of it. Then she says, "Well, I just don't know about him." I said, "See, I tell these couples, you have, the wedding's at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, you have till 1:59 to change your mind. But once you say I do, you did, and that's it." I didn't know she'd take me literally at that. And she, right at the last second, say, "Well, I'm not sure about this guy." Okay, but if you're not sure, then don't do this. You know the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, look here. I love the ladies of this church and appreciate you very much, but there's one woman who has my loyalty, just one. That started that day on December the 6th, that started that day. Don't ask me what year because I don't remember. December the 6th, that started that day. And that day, see that, there's been one spouse for me, one wife, that's all. And you know what? She's done the same for me. There's been this loyalty. Now, when God created a church and likened it to a bride, what does that mean? Well, we go to all kinds of churches. We go to different places. Excuse me. You try that with your spouse. "Well, honey, don't worry, I won't be here tonight, but I'll be with someone's wife." Don't think that'll work too well. Probably won't foster a close bond of relationship between a husband and a wife. Because you get one spouse, you get one husband, you get one wife. And then you become loyal to them. You become a part of them, they become a part of you. Hey, those two become like one flesh. That's like the church. You become like one flesh with your church. You join it, you participate, you get involved in it. It becomes where you go. That's your church. Because it's like the bride issue. I know today people seem to have a commitment issue with churches. I understand the hesitation on some people's heart and mind, but if we understand, you're never going to find a perfect church because it's got people in it. And you'll just ruin it by coming anyhow. And the truth is, I'm sorry you won't get the one you always wanted. Some of our folks have moved away and gone to other cities, countries, whatever. Other places in the country, and they call back and say, "Pastor, there's no church like Shasta Baptist Church." Well, of course there isn't. There's just Shasta Baptist Church. Doesn't mean this is the only church that's any good, but they're different. They all have different pastors, different people. Things are different about it, but guess what you do? You find a good church that believes right, practices right, and does what they're supposed to do. Then you get in that thing, and you become loyal to it like it becomes loyal to you. Like a bride who's loyal to her spouse. Church is like a bride, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make sure we're a good bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.